In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is the last Sunday of the Pentecostarian. The Pentecostarian is the liturgical text that we use beginning on Pascha, and it's joined to the Triodion. And so we began this journey back in February, and we're just wrapping it up today. Tomorrow we begin a fast, and it's as if the church is saying, okay, you've celebrated all these things, and now it's time to get back to work. And on this Sunday, to sort of anticipate that, we celebrate the memory of all the saints, because that's what we're all supposed to become. The scriptures say that we're called to be saints. As a matter of fact, we're told by St. Paul that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. So there's no second-class Christians in heaven. Everyone's either a saint or they're not in heaven. But what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to become a saint? Well, this last week in the Gospel readings, we began to read the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. And this last week we read chapter 5, the beginning part, which begins with the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes sum up the Christian life that we're called to live. And it ended yesterday with this quotation: "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And you might hear that and say, well, I guess I'm done for because there's no way I'm ever going to become perfect. What we have to ask is what does Christ mean when he says that we're to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? We find the answer to that question in the immediate context and also in other passages that talk about what it means to be a perfect Christian. It begins with verse 43 in chapter 5, and it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." What Christ is speaking about here is the love that we are to have as Christians. And he's not talking about the kind of love that we have for those that are near and dear to us, although we are to have that kind of love. He's not talking about the love between a man and a woman. What he's talking about is the kind of love that God has for us, a love that is sacrificial, a love that loves someone even when they're unlovable. Also, when it talks about how we're to pray for those that hate us, this is a very important point. And we are told elsewhere in the Sermon on the Mount that we are to forgive. If we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. And the question often comes, well, how do I forgive someone who's done horrible things to me? I don't feel like forgiving them. But forgiveness, like love, like the kind of love that we're talking about here, is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make. And if we pray sincerely for someone that has hurt us, someone who's our enemy, then we have forgiven them. We are showing that we really love them. That doesn't mean that we necessarily want to hang around with them. It doesn't mean that we have to keep setting ourselves up to be hurt by them. But it does mean that we have to truly, sincerely desire what is for their salvation. Also, St. John Chrysostom tells us that we shouldn't hate those that have hurt us, because those people who are enemies, those people that have despitefully used us, allow us to gain great spiritual profit. So in a certain sense, we owe them a debt of gratitude. It's hard for us to feel like that, but that's the fact of the matter. They give us an opportunity to love those that hate us and despitefully use us the same way that Christ loved those that hated him and despitefully used him. And by doing that, we become imitators of God. We become children of God, as Christ says here. And then he says, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" And the publicans were the tax collectors and were on the lowest rung in terms of what people would think of as a pious person in Jewish society. So he's saying even these people that you despise, the tax collectors, they do that much. So what are you doing more than them if that's all that you do? It's easy to love people when they do good to you. It's easy to love people when they're kind to you. Though, unfortunately, many of us even fall short on that account. How can we even begin to make the first steps in the Christian life if we don't love our parents, for example, if we don't love our spouses, if we don't love people who serve us, those that have been kind to us? We have to have gratitude for people who have been kind to us and treated us well, just to become as good as the publicans, Christ says. But to really become Christ-like, we have to go one step further, and we have to love those that have been unkind to us, who hate us and have hurt us. And then it ends with the words that I began with, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And so the kind of perfection that Christ is talking about is not the infinite perfection that God has as the ground of all being, because that's obviously not something that we could ever even begin to hope to achieve. What he's talking about is being perfect in love. The word in Greek that's used, it's translated as being perfect, has the connotation of being complete. If you see an apple tree that's grown and it's bearing apples and it doesn't have some disease in it, you could say that that's a perfect apple tree. When you see a Christian who's bearing the kind of fruit that we should bear as Christians, when they're loving their neighbor and they're loving God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, that is a perfect Christian. We're told in many places in Scripture that love fulfills the law, and a person that has done that has done everything that God has asked them to do. In the epistle of 1 John, beginning with in chapter 4, verse 10, he says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us." God loved us even when we hated him. As St. Paul says, "But God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." If God so loved us, we ought to love others in the same way. And when we do that, the love of God is perfected in us. We need to love others because, number one, we want to be imitators of God, but also because when we look at those around us, we're looking at people who are created in the image of God. And further on in that same chapter, he says, "God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." This is the way we become perfect, by loving as he loves. And if we abide in love, we abide in God, and God abides in us. In love, we can be perfect, and so have boldness on the day of judgment. Amen.